Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of B Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Amen. Praise God. And we're going to go into the Word of God, and we're going to go in what God wants to say. So if you want to get your Bibles ready, you can open in the book of Romans. But I want to speak this morning on practicality and what it means actually to be a Christian. Who of you knows what it means to be a Christian? Maybe you have an idea, and maybe you're going to discover this morning that you've been doing it all wrong. All the way you've been doing it actually wrong. There's a better way to do this. I want to tell you this morning. And I want to speak on that, what it means to be a Christian. I think we can drop the music just a little bit more. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So the Word is going to open our hearts. But to kick off, I need to say this about religions. Because all religions point to three things. All right? Whatever religion you get, they point to three things. It says that you ought to, you didn't, and now you're toast. Isn't it? There's something you should do, you can't get to that, and now you're in trouble. Isn't it? All religions do that. Religion is all about following rules. It's all about the rules and the regulations. And Jesus had something far better in mind for us as His followers. We can drop it even a little bit more. Thanks. And one of our problems is why we struggle with sin and struggling the way that you've been following Jesus and struggling in this is that oftentimes we've bought into what we've been taught in our lives. We've bought into what was modeled for us. And we approach Christianity like a religion. That's our problem. Maybe if I start sharing some examples, you're going to say, aha, maybe I've been doing it the wrong way. Because we try to approach Christianity actually as a religion. And Jesus didn't come to start another religion. He came to give us something different. And let's summarize this, that all religions have some things in common. In religion and in general, if I summarize this, is this, you ought to... You didn't, you are toast, all right? You're in trouble. That's religion. Pick any religion. You sit under some leader or some teacher or whatever. They teach you the way and they say, this is what you need to do to be a better person. This is what you, and you say, I'm going to do my very best to do that. And then you try and you fail and then you're in trouble, isn't it? It's pretty much how the story goes. Can you relate? Okay. And then sometimes you say, okay, now I'm just going to try harder. Next time I'm gonna do better. And C.S. Lewis says that there's like a common religion, common law religion, where he says all religions have these things like don't hurt people, you know, don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't, you know, care for the weaker people. All these good values and morals, and all religions have that good laws. They have all the stuff, but you say, okay, great, I like that, so I'm gonna be a good religious person, isn't it? Going to be a good religious person. Have you said, in Afrikaans, we have that when we describe somebody, sometimes we say, that guy is a groot Christen. Groot kind van die Here. We have that way, isn't it? All right? We describe people. So what does that mean? You know? He's a better religious follower or better, more devoted, or when you're born again, you're born again. All right? Rather say that guy is more surrendered to God. You see, so you ought to do right, but you actually don't do right, and you come back in trouble with the gods, whoever they are. That's religion. So all have the same thing in common, isn't it? But I want to try to explain the different views or the difference between approaching Christianity or following Jesus the way Jesus taught us, the way Paul taught us, the way that actually the New Testament followers followed him versus a religious approach to Christianity. That's what we're going to look at this morning, because that is the power of the resurrection. Christ died. We celebrated that on Friday, and we know that He died. And He says that Christ died, but He's not dead. He rose. He is alive. Amen? But that means something. Remember when Jesus said, do not fear. It didn't make sense to the disciples until the day He appeared to them again and they saw a resurrected Savior. And finally it hit home that He broke the power of sin and death. The ultimate enemy, death, that they're so afraid of, has been conquered. So there's something in a resurrected Savior that changed the trajectory of your life that changed the way you do life with Christ. And you need to understand, that's why Paul says, when you have died, don't you know you've died with Christ? And your life is hidden in Christ. And when Christ appears, you will appear with Him in glory. That's Colossians 3. Romans speaks of that when you have died, you've been buried with Christ. And as Christ rose, you are resurrected into a new life with Him. Amen? That's why we baptize. Not something to do in a tick list. There's something significant about being buried with Christ and raising up into a resurrection life, into a new life. If you can go with the religious approach in your life. That's okay. If you want to follow Christianity as a religion, you can. Maybe you're going to be in the majority of people. But you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to be like Jesus. And I can say good luck with that, right? Trying to be. But you're going to be frustrated because it doesn't work. It doesn't work following Christianity as a religion. I mean, you try to be like Jesus. You can't even be like anybody else or one of your heroes or, you know, the guy who sings or that guy who plays sports. You can't even be like that. So sometimes some of us struggle to even be just ourselves. You don't even know how to be you. But we just want to be more like Jesus. But that's a problem, is because if you just want to be like Jesus, and don't get me wrong, don't take this and make a clip on Facebook and then you take it out of context. We're going to get there, okay? Because we're trying to be like Jesus so much. And every time you fail, you're going to sit in a dump. You're going to sit in depression because you just never get there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that you're going to fail because trying to be like Him is trying to follow a way of religion. Because there's certain things you have to do, but you know in your nature and your way you're not gonna. So you're gonna ought to, but you don't, and then you're toast. And you're gonna fail. That's the thing, isn't it? Okay, you can y'all say. Because that's true of all of us. You're gonna get frustrated. But here's the good news, that God never intended for us to be more like Jesus and to live to, He modeled something, and it's, we need to live up to that. Here's the essence. Here's this. Because we cannot do it. He says that I came to give my life not only for you, but also to you. Jesus came not to just give His life for us, but to us. Come on. Why do you want to be more like Jesus if He says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ and I longer no live? Isn't it? So you don't live anymore. So why do you try? You see, Christianity is about allowing the life of Christ to flow through you. Because you don't live anymore. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. So you're understanding it wrong, trying to be more like Him instead of allowing to die to the flesh and allow the life of Christ in you to become more radiant, to come out. Same as Jesus says, the glory I've given to them. Now we say, Lord, your glory come down. No, let the glory come out. That what I've given to them, Father, let it manifest. So He gave His life not only for you, but to you. And until that becomes your approach in following Christ, you're going to be a Christian who acts like all other religious people. You're going to try to live up to a law, isn't it? A standard. And it's something you can never live up to. But you already know that, because you know that how many times you fail. And Paul gives us insight into this. Let me give you a snapshot of Paul's struggles. What he says when he was a religious person. When he tried, remember, he says, I was the best of the Pharisees. The best of the best. You can't beat me at that. And he says, this was my experience trying to keep God's law. And at the end of the day, just feeling like toast. Come on, let's take Romans 7. If you have your Bible, Romans 7, it says, for I do not understand my own actions. Does that make sense to anybody? Hey? For what I want to do, I do not. But I do the very thing I hate. Come on. The thing I do want to do, I don't. And the thing I don't want to, I just keep on doing. And was it, who was it? The Beach Boys or I Do, or who sang that song? You see, there's nothing new under the sun. Britney Spears said, oops, I did it again. And as we do it sometimes, you know, we fail and fail and fail. And here it says, I do. But that's the thing. And this is not the experience of a pagan, is it? This is the experience of a religious person, of Paul saying, the very thing I'm trying not to do, I just keep on doing. And the thing I don't want to do, I just keep on doing that. What I ought to, I do not, I feel guilty. That's religion. That what I ought to, but I don't do it, I feel guilty. That what I ought to, I don't get to that, I feel guilty. Come on. That's what we do. And unfortunately, what the church came and do is says, hey, there's a lot of rules and regulations. You can't follow it. You're breaking the rule. You feel guilty. And now it says what we came and did as the church, it says, we'll give you some more rules to follow on top of that. Isn't it? And then when you can't keep those rules, we'll tell you what to do to repent and to do penance. And you go doing this and you go do and pray that and pray this. And some people, like in the old days, they have to walk on their knees down the street trying to please God, trying to pay God back with suffering, isn't it? Trying to get good with God by doing things. Come on, isn't it? That's religion. And you know that we all fall short and there's some stuff to do to make it up with God. So every time you fail, we give you more stuff to do so that you can get even, just make it up to God. That's religion. That's what we do. Let me drop this one. If you did something and you need to ask forgiveness more than one time, then you most likely fall in this religious category. Because God says, when you ask forgiveness, He's faithful to hear you, to forgive you, and to remove it as far as the east is from the west. Puts it in a sea of forgetfulness. But how many of us still do this? Oh, Father, I'm so sorry I did this. 10 minutes later, oh Father, I'm so, please forgive me. And didn't He forgive you the first time? You see? So we're trying to earn, the good must outweigh the bad again until we can approach God, isn't it? That's what we do. Am I talking to some people? So unfortunately, the whole church took a swing towards religion because this is what religion does. And Paul says it, I understand this frustration. He says, because next verse, he says, but what I hate, I do. And if I don't, if I do what I do not want, he says, I agree with the law. I think you're just one verse ahead of me. Well, let me read what I have here. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I want not to do, what does he say? I agree with the law that the law is good. I think now, there we go. Sorry. I agree with the law that the law is good. And this is where I want us to focus today. Just for a while, we're going to speak on living lawless in the right way, in the good way. Because he says here that I agree with the law and that it is good. Now this can be any law. Paul was speaking here about the Jewish law. But it can be any law. And he says, I agree that the law is good. Come on. He's not saying rules are bad. He's just saying I cannot keep them that well. Everybody should have some rules and regulations. I believe that we should put other people first. You know? But sometimes I just don't do that very well, he says. I know that we shouldn't lust after other people's wives or this or that. He says, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes I know we shouldn't be stingy, but sometimes I just keep more for myself. That's what he says, isn't it? I know the law. I think the law is good. I believe that we have to behave in certain ways and be generous and be honest and kind. He says, but what? Sometimes I just don't do it. Or I don't do it very consistently. I struggle. So then we can say, welcome to religion. That's what religion is. And much of Paul's letters is, you find this, the relationship with the law, your relationship with the law. And he's talking about the Jewish law, and he says that there's a relationship you have with the law. And it applies to every religion here, that it applies even to your own law. Knowing it or not, you have a law for yourself that you live by. You have a certain set of values. Not if you don't even follow God's law, is it? You have certain laws for yourself that sometimes you can't even keep. You've got a way that you ought to think how you should live. And sometimes you don't even live up to your own standards. So whatever law it is, there's a law. You have a relationship with a law. And the New Testament epistles of Paul, sometimes it's confusing, but he gives us a different way of living. And that's what makes it difficult, because sometimes the Torah fall off and then we struggle. Because he tells us there's a different way in following Jesus. And in this, the law and all those things, he's trying to differentiate between following a living person and living under the law. Okay, so this is what he says, that God is giving us certain laws, all right? There's certain things that he demands from us, there's rules. And we're going to try our very best to follow these rules, but you'll never experience Christian life in the fullest and in the way it's intended to be lived, because you're going to struggle if you approach it like religion. So he says a little bit further down, he says this about the law. He says, for what the law was powerless to do. So now it's no longer near. One back. Yeah, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Another translation says, for what the law, just keep it there, what the law was powerless to do because it's weakened by the sinful nature, God did. In other words, he says that there's a law in which you live, but that law is doing something in your life. He says, so what the law was powerless to do, come on, Christ did for you. The law couldn't do it for you, because the law just exposes. For what the law is powerless to do. You know what's the law good for? What's the law good for? The law is just your conscience, all these things written on your heart or whatever. The law is what? The law says what? You're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you fail, you fail, you fail. The law never says, wow, you did good, great, well done. He says, you failed, you overstepped, you drove 140, not 120, you did, okay? He says all these things, so the law just tell you your failures. The law tell you your weaknesses, isn't it? Come on. So he says, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you failed. Oh, you had a good week, 2 weeks. Oh, but at week three, what? Crash and burn and you toast again. That's what happens if we're trying to live by the law. And then when you're at that place of toast, what do we say? How am I going to make this up to God? What do I need to do? And that's a religious person's mindset. How am I going to make this up to God? What do I need to do? And you kind of going through, because maybe somebody tells you, hey, here's what you need to do to make right with God. And now you're going through all these motions and all these things, and you start doing the things to get right with God and just on an even playing field with God. Have it ever occurred to you one day that you can ask this, but who made up all these rules? Who made up all the stuff that this is what you need to do to get even with God? How does that guy or this guy or even me know that this, what I'm doing, will put me in the right place? This will put me in right standing with God again. Have some people give you advice, you know, go do this, 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 then you'll be fine again. And that's what Paul says, is there's a law, and the law is good for only this, to give you your weaknesses, to mirror actually how awful you are, to show you your defects and deformities and, you know, all these things. Do you agree? Wow, yes, you're quiet. What the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by sinful nature, God had said, God did something for you. Come on, say it. God did something for me that the law could not do. That's what you need to know. That's where it sets free, that God did something that the law could not do. Now he's talking about this. He says that Christ, yes, Christ died on the cross for you. He took the penalty of sin. And one day when you die, you get to go to heaven. Amen? That's one of the rewards. But Paul says, and that's what I love about Romans. He says, hey, true, but that's not all. Because you're not in heaven yet, you're here. And you can't just live for one day when you get to go to heaven. He says there's a victory that you need to live here in this earth. Come on. And that's what he says. Christ did something the law could not do. The law shows you your weakness. But what Christ did, he broke the power of sin and death as well. And therefore you can live free from sin. That's what he says. Is what he actually is saying. Let's go to the next verse. He says that when I'm actually not sinning, he says, so now it's no longer I. Come on, you can blame somebody else. It's not I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. That's what he says. He says, it's the sin in you that sins, not you. Because you are set free from the... That's why Romans 7, now Romans 8, he starts to explain it. He says, therefore, we present ourselves as hallowed sacrifices and all these things. But then he says, for the law... Again, the law. For the law of sin and death, Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. And now I'm in the law of the life in Christ Jesus, in the Spirit. So there's a law that keeps you bound, but he sets you free from that law. He gives you a higher place. Because the law, he says, what the law here does is the law kind of supercharges your sin. Because the law reminds you that you didn't make it. You ought to, you didn't, you're toast. And he says, I've got you. I've got you. You're struggling. And now the law becomes your judge and your jury and the sentencer and everything. Because the law says, I've got you. God's law, Paul's law, conscience law, whatever. He says, that's what it does. But there's a different way. Come on, say there's a different way. And let's get to that different way. And Paul tried to give some tips on abandoning law living and becoming free in Christ. To understand what's your daily walk with Christ. What is the life of a resurrected Christ in you? Because he says it's the Spirit who lives in you. Amen. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the one living in you who rose and now it's raising you out of your dead life, your dead sin into life. So let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. This is what he says. We'll get to that now. But Paul comes and he says this. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Amen. Walk by the, he says, that's what you need to do. If the law and the law living cannot do it for you, how do we do it? And he says this, I say, come on, say it with me, walk by the Spirit. Again, walk by the Spirit. That's what Paul says you need to do. And then we say, okay, it's actually easier if you tell me don't lie, don't steal, don't judge, because that we know how to do that. So it's easier, but walking in the Spirit, how do we do that? Give me rather don't, isn't it? But if you say do this, walk by the Spirit, how do we do this? And that's what he says. It's a new paradigm. It's a new way of thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come on. And he says this, I want you to learn to walk. Come on, say it's learning. Because we're not getting there. It's not perfect. You don't just do that. It's learning. He says, I want you to learn what it means to keep in step with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. Keep in step, keep in step. Be sensitive. Don't run ahead of the Spirit, or don't be too slow. Come on, some of us are a bit too slow as well. Don't stay too far behind of the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Be sensitive. Take your cues from the Spirit. Do what He wants, isn't it? Because that's who you are in Christ. And that's what He says. It's to walk with the Spirit. And what happens? Remember, law shows you just your grade, that you fail, that you ought to, you didn't, you're toast. He says, but if you walk by the Spirit, what's the result? Then, come on, who knows your Bible? Then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Law, religious approach, law living is this. You follow the desires of your flesh, and now you first need to fix it before you can approach God. Living in Christ means you start walking in the Spirit, and the more you walk, the more the flesh will subside, and the more you'll become like Him and being transformed. But because of understanding the wrong way, you first want to be perfect. You're following Christ in a religion way and not a relationship way. Not law living, but living lawless. Come on, because He says, if you are in that place, you are not under the law. You are set free from the law. Amen. So he says, you will not gratify the desire. So if you walk by the Spirit, by this afternoon, tonight, when you look in the rearview mirror, you're going to suddenly say, hey, I didn't react today. Something happened. Something changed. Wow, this is different, isn't it? Because when sin comes, he says, hey, come over here. Let's take your eyes, or let's take your feet. Let's walk there, or let's go and talk here. Instead of waking every day up, because that's what religion do, is, Father, I know that, you know, there's things that I'm not supposed to do, and I'm going to try my very best not to do that and becoming a better person. And he says, just forget all about that. Just forget about it and start walking in the Spirit, and you'll stop doing that. If you wake up every morning saying, remember not to do this, not to, then you're going to fail. But when you wake up and you say, Lord, I'm going to live my life through you and I'm just going to follow you and I'm going to try my very best to walk in the Spirit, it's going to start changing. Amen. That's what Paul says. Don't do law living because you're going to fail. I want you to learn. It's learning to walk in the Spirit. Then you will not gratify. And maybe it takes some time. Maybe yours is not the end of the day. Maybe yours is at the end of the week or the end of the month or end of the year. You'll start seeing something different. But walk. You need to start walking. You need to start walking. You're going to look back and you're going to say, hey, this and that didn't happen because you've learned to walk. And then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So what's the desires of the flesh? We're going to start ending off almost. And an easy way to say what's the desires of the flesh is this. I shouldn't, but I want to. Eh? I should not, but I want to. I want to. I should not, but I did, and I want to. That's the desires of the flesh, isn't it? Come on, you guys can stop saying amen. Just say ouch, ouch, ouch this morning. Maybe that's it. Okay? And you see, I shouldn't, but I did. And now you feel guilty. And now it becomes a pattern. And now it becomes an addiction and all these things. And then you're like, what happened? How did I get to this place? You see, it's those natural appetites. And this is the thing. God gave us our natural appetites. There's nothing wrong. Sin distorted our natural appetites and you started mismanaging the desires of the flesh. That's what happened because of sin. And Paul says, I know that we are slow learners, okay? We're taking a while. So he says, let me go. He says, for the desires of the flesh are contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, that's contrary to the flesh. In other words, he says, they are in conflict with one another, at war with one another. So that you cannot just do whatever you want. And Paul says, this conflict is something that you will have all the time. Come on. God wants me to, but I don't want to. The Spirit, the law says this, but I follow this. And you know, you're having this conflict the whole time. And he says that when you get under the law, you're going to struggle under the law. And whatever way you go, you're going to always lose. If you do the law way, you're going to always lose. Because if you're good, a good boy or a good girl, isn't it? You feel like you're missing out. Isn't it? They're having fun. I cannot have fun. You're losing. Because sin promised you something. Now when you're a bad boy or a bad girl, isn't it? You finally got what you wanted, but now you're feeling guilty. You did what you wanted to do, but now you've wrecked and ruined yourself. Isn't it? So it's a lose-lose. You lose either way. You lose. If you're doing the law way. And this is what you need to know. When you find yourself ever in this conflict, I want to, but I shouldn't. You need to know that's a lose-lose. Don't go there. It's a lose-lose. You either feel arrogant because I don't do that. Other people do that. Or you're going to judge people by all the things they do, but you wish you could do it. Isn't it? Paul says, that's not the way to go. That's not the way to go. And then he says this, but if, come on, say but if. But if is a big word because he says there's a different, in other words, but if means there's a different path, different way to follow. But if you are led by the Spirit. So he describes all these things and he says, but if there's a different path, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's what he says. If you are led, you are not under the law. That conflict that I described, that's what it looks like to be under the law. That's what it looks like. I want to do this. The flesh says this. Just help me. Somebody help me. And Paul says there's a different way. You don't have to do it that way. It's a different way of doing it. Come on. If you're led by the Spirit, if you are not under the law. Because the Spirit leads you in a direction. And if you keep on following, you're going to start looking back. You're going to see different fruit. It's a whole different way of thinking, isn't it? No, God, there's all these things that I know you want me to do, but I cannot do them. He says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. And then he says, what is the acts of the flesh? He says this, what? The acts of the flesh are obvious. Well, we know that already. We know what they are, ne? But look at this contrast. The acts of the flesh or the works of the flesh. But what does he say? Okay, then he names all of them. We can skip that. And then he says, but what? The fruit of the Spirit. Here's the con. The acts or the works of the flesh is this and this and this, but the fruit of the Spirit. Say fruit of the Spirit. Come on. You see, do you know what fruit is? Fruit is something that realizes that happens internally. It's something that happens internally. Isn't it? Something that's produced. When you, this is the thing, when you go to a vineyard or an orchard, when you go on that Cape Town holiday of yours and you do the wine route there, have you ever heard an orchard or a vineyard struggling to produce fruit? Have you ever heard a vineyard that like trying to push and produce some fruit? Working hard to produce something. Lisa? Huh? You don't see trees going like, oh, you know, this fruit. There's something because fruit is not produced by you. Fruit is produced in you and through you, not by you. You see, this isn't the law. The law will go make you go, you need to produce something. That's the law. So just think next time you go, that's the law, okay? Because when you're doing good, you're proud. When you're bad, you're guilty. All these things. But if you're led by the Spirit, we know what's the acts of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit is different. It's produced in and through us, not by us. Come on, let's start ending off. We can put that music now a little bit louder. Thank you. Can you start realizing that it's different, that I'm going to try. I'm going to be good. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be better at this. Then I want to say again, good luck. If you're going to try. Fruit is this. God, today, I'm going to learn as I live my life through Christ. I want you to produce fruit through me. Isn't it? Not I'm going to try, I'm, because then how many times you fight the I. I'm going to do I. But if you say, Lord, I cannot do it, but you, Christ in me, has done it already. I can. I want to learn to live in such a way that fruit is produced through me. That's what he says. That is the new life. You see, he says the deeds of the flesh are obvious. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he says, against such things, there is no law. See, you're not living under the law. He says, there's no law against these things. Again, if you're religious, this is what you do. If you see those things, love, patience, goodness, joy, kindness, all that, you're going to say, I'm going to try to be more loving, more caring, have more peace, be. Thank you, God, for the list. That's not a to-do list. You see, if you're religious, you think that's a to-do list. That's not a to-do list. It's fruit. He says, if you don't live under the law and you're in Christ, that's the fruit that will be produced. It's not a to-do list. It's not for you to say, I've tried harder. Just allow God to bear fruit in you. Amen. Since we live by the Spirit, he says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's to keep in step with the Spirit, to keep in step. It's really a mindset. It's really, you need to renew your mind in this. Because that's the battle in our flesh. It's law living, and then you need to realize, I'm trying to fight a battle in the state of an old Adam. Christ has made me a new creation. I'm not that person anymore. Amen? You have to renew your mind. This is what it starts looking like. Is I have to accept this new identity. He says that you need to say, I am in Christ. I am in Christ. What's true of Christ is true of me. Come on. Because I'm in Christ, I'm forgiven. Don't say, oh God, I did it again. If you say, oh, I did it again, your religious mindset is walking again. You need to say, I am forgiven, I am accepted, I am loved. I cannot do anything else for God to love me more. I died to the power of sin. That's why Paul writes it. He says, because you're in this new place, sin is not your master. But you cannot do it by yourself. Therefore, keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. Let's close our eyes. That's what Jesus wants for you. It's not trying to imitate Jesus. The Christian life is the life of Christ that's been given to you. This is what I want in your heart this morning, is that you understand. Yes, He died, but then He broke the power of sin and death, so that when you are in Him, you can live in a resurrection power which sets you free from the power of sin and death, which calls you to live in Christ, which causes you to bear great fruit and to glorify the Father, not to follow rules and regulations, but to live in freedom because Christ is in me and I am in Him. That's what He says with John 15. I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I abide in you, and you will bear fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Maybe you've tried to do too many things on your own, and that's why you struggle, because it's Christ in me. This is a brand new approach, I know. But you need to come to this new identity. I do not live under the law, but He says, I live in grace. So this is my heart and my challenge for you this morning. Start walking by the Spirit. And do everything you can to keep in step with the Spirit. And you'll start seeing the fruit in your life. Well, let's pray together a very simple prayer as we end off. As Jesus, come and have your way in us. We know that we cannot do it out of our own. And forgive us for trying so hard in our own flesh and in our own way. Father, I ask that you come and renew our minds this morning in how we should follow you. And Father, that you said, I didn't come to put more burdens on you. My yoke is easy and soft. So He didn't come to add more laws and regulations. He says, follow me and I will make of you. In following Him, keeping in step with the Spirit, He will produce in you. So Father, again, we just come and refocus our hearts this morning and say, come and produce in us again. Didn't He say, it is I who prepared good works for you before even the foundation of the world for you to walk in. God prepared good works for you. So I declare over you that you will be fruitful and that you will bear great fruit and that you will stop struggling living under the law, but that you will become lawless, that you will live in the freedom of Christ and that you will come to know your new identity in Him and that you will be anchored in this new identity, knowing that you are His. There's nothing you can do for Him to love you more. So I say this again. Walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.